Okay, good afternoon, everybody. As we know, we are coming up on the celebration on the holiday of Purim, and one of the focal points of Purim is that we have to read the Megillah. So the Rambam tells us in the Hakdama to the Minyan HaMitzvahs, what was the reason for the institution of the reading of the Megillah? And he says, HaNeviim im Beis Din tiknu v'tzivu likros haMegillah ba'onasa. They instructed us to read the Megillah at the proper time on Purim night as well as Purim day. In order, says the Rambam, kidei lahazkir shvachav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Number one, the objective of reading the Megillah is in order that we should extol the virtues and the praises of the Ribono Shel Olam by reading the story of the great Hatzalah, of the great celebration. And number two, Utshua Sha'asalanu, we should talk about the salvation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Berachamav in His mercy granted us as a people. V'hayakarav l'shavosenu, says the Rambam, we should remind ourselves that the Ribono Shel Olam wanted very much to hear our voices when we prayed to Him. Kedei levarcho ulahalalo, says the Rambam, we should also use this as an opportunity to praise and to bless Him. Ukedei lehodia ledoros habayim, and in order to inform our children and all future generations, she'emes ma'ashiv tichana batorah, we want to validate and substantiate the claim that the Torah says, ki mi goy gadol asher lo elokim krovim elav, kashem elokeinu b'chol kareinu elav, says the Rambam. One of the objectives of reading the Megillah on Purim is not just to remind ourselves of the miracle and to remind ourselves of the importance of tefillah, but to remind ourselves that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us. Umi goy gadol. There is no one that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves more than the Jewish people when they cry out to Him and they have a relationship with Him. There's an amazing story in the Sefer Netzach Yisrael. He writes about the Chafetz Chaim, that he once had an opportunity to be visiting the city of Grodno. That was where Reb Chaim Ozer lived. And when he came to the community, it was big news. Everybody hung up signs, come get a bracha from the Chafetz Chaim. So there were long lines outside of his house where he happened to be staying. The whole community was waiting online to get a bracha. And the Chafetz Chaim got up and he said, Toz b'yedchem achim, my dear brothers, those who live in this village of Grodno, I understand that you came to get a bracha, but you're all making a mistake. Why do you think, he said, that you need me to mediate, that you need me to intervene, you need my bracha? You think the Ribono Shel Olam doesn't know how to listen to you? And he said, do you think a father appreciates when a child wants something from their parent? Do you think the father appreciates when you send another one of the children to go ask for it? If you have a relationship with your parents, and you have a close enough and open communication with them, you should be able to ask on your own. Said the Chafetz Chaim, there is nothing more that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves than for you to reach out to Him by yourself. And then the Chafetz Chaim said, I can assure you, Yacholti lehavtichachem, shehu mevakesh lehispayis imanu harbe yoser misha'ana mishtokikim lakach. You're afraid that you don't want to reach out to Him because maybe you're inadequate, because maybe you've done so many averas, said the Chafetz Chaim. I can tell you that the Ribono Shel Olam wants more to hear from you, and He wants to repair that relationship more than you can ever imagine. A parent always wants to repair the relationship with a child. After all, that's the job of a parent, to be the parent who loves. And therefore, says the Chafetz Chaim, there's nothing greater than you can do for yourself than to just prostrate yourself in front of the Ribono Shel Olam and ask Him, be open with Him, communicate with Him, and tell Him what it is that you want. So on Purim, this is really what the Rambam says we're supposed to think about as we read the Megillah. Mi kashem elokeinu b'chol kareinu elav. We can be the Jewish community living in Persia at a time when there was no longer Ruach HaKodesh, when we were exiled from Yerushalayim, when we realized that there was no hope for the Jewish people at that time, and we believed it was all over, and yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered our tefillos, because that's what He looks forward to, that's what He wants, and that's what can bring about a Yeshua. You know, I always feel that reading the Megillah on Purim is a little bit misleading for people, because you read the Megillah, if you have a quick Balkorah, he finishes it in 25-30 minutes, whatever it happens to be. If you're a little slower, so it takes 45-50 minutes, and you get the impression like the whole story happened in one night. And the truth is, it seems that the story of the Megillah happened over the span of 10 years. So we read the Megillah and we say, oh, you connect all the dots and everything makes sense. Ahasuerus kills his wife, and while he's having the party and he kills his wife, he asks for advice what he should do about the next wife. Oh, next day Esther shows up, and then Esther gets married, then she has a party the next day, and you think the whole thing happened in a week, and you put all the dots together and you say, oh, it makes sense that this all played out the way it did. But it really happened over a span of 10 years at least, and therefore it was not obvious at all that anything was going to happen positively for the Jews. It seemed that they were going to be destroyed. And if you were living at that time, you were living through the decree of Haman, and you were afraid for your life, and you were living in Persia without a Beis HaMikdash, and you lost Ruach HaKodesh, and you thought this is the end of the Jewish people. Lahashmid laharog la'abei. This was the genocide. This was the persecution. There was no way that we would ever be able to get back to ourselves and have a Jewish community. Not only that, as you read the story, you know, as young children, we always have kids who grow up and who want to dress up as Mordechai and Esther, and it's very nice that they're the heroes of the story. But when you think about it from their perspective, Esther, although she was the hero of the story, it was such a tragic situation. Here you have a woman who's growing up in a very religious home, and she's married to the Gadol HaDor. Mordechai was the Rosh HaSanhedrin. He was the undisputed Gadol HaDor of the time. So she's married to him. She's his foster child who ends up marrying her father, so to speak. And then you have the situation where, out of all the girls that could have been chosen, Esther is the one who's chosen. And she tries everything in her power to make sure she's not going to be chosen. She doesn't want any skin treatment. She doesn't want any makeup. She doesn't want anything because she does not want to look beautiful for Ahasuerus. Everybody else is vying for the position to be the new queen. And Esther's doing whatever she could to make sure she's not going to be the queen. And yet she's the one chosen. And then she goes and lives with Ahasuerus, and she's leaving this secret life. She's not allowed to tell who she really is and where she comes from and who she's affiliated with. Can you imagine the life that she's living? And then the Megillah tells us, Kasher Avadati, Avadati. We lay it in the tune from Eicha, because that was the tragic moment when Esther realized, even if somehow, miraculously, I'll ever get out of this place of living with this maniac, this non-Jew, who killed his last wife, and I'm afraid he's going to kill me again if he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. Maybe he'll decide to kill me. Even after all that, she says, now I realize, if I ever get out of here, I'm not going to be able to go back to my husband, because now I initiated a relationship with him. I invited him to come and be intimate with me, and therefore I'm losing my chance to go back to my husband should I ever be freed. This was a tragic story, and Esther didn't know how it was going to play out, so much so that the Medrash tells us, when Esther was going into Ahasuerus, she felt Nistalka Himena Ruach HaKodesh. She felt that the Shechina that was always traveling with her, she felt that it left her. And this is what it means when we say in Perek Chaf Beis in Tehillim, Keli, Keli, Lama Azavtani. That, the Gemara says, was said by Esther HaMalka. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, abandoned her and left her alone, she felt so depressed, she felt so discouraged, and she said, what's going to be? You've left me here all alone. How am I supposed to deal with this? What do you want me to do? So it's a very depressing story, and it's a very difficult situation that she was in. And yet, something that we find very fascinatingly, over here by the Purim story, as well as by the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim that we're going to talk about in a few weeks, we find the Maharal points out one aspect of the story that is the same, and that is this idea of chipazon, this idea that everything happened quickly. As we know, at the night of Makas Bechoras by Yetzias Mitzrayim, Paro comes running into the streets and he says, get out of here as quickly as you can. And we know that they didn't have enough time for the matzahs to bake and to rise. And everything was done so quickly. And the same over here, writes the Maharal. When it came to the story of the Megillah, we find also there's a great emphasis on everything happening as quickly as possible. Vayomer HaMelech Maru Es Haman. Vayomer HaMelech LaHaman Maher Kachas Alavush V'Yas Hasus. And then again it says, Oda Medaber Mimo Vayavhilu Lahavi Es Haman. Why is everyone in such a rush? What's this all about? Explains the Maharal. This is to highlight and to emphasize the fact that all HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs to create the greatest miracle is 1 second. You can be in a place of absolute despondency. You can be in a place where you've given up hope, where you say, Kaylee, Kaylee, Lama Azavtani, you leave me here all alone with this madman, with this non-Jew. I'm living with this person. I don't want to be with him. And now I've lost my family. I've lost my identity. I have nowhere to turn. I have no friends, no one to talk to. And yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, all I need is 1 second for Venahapachu. All I need is one moment for everything to turn around. That's the same story that we experienced by Yetzias Mitzrayim, and writes the Maharal, it's the same aspect of the story that we have here. All it takes is HaKadosh Baruch Hu taking one moment to change the whole perspective from being one of such horrifying despondency, of such troubling circumstances, and it can all turn around to be a great celebration for the community or for the individual who seems to be suffering through whatever circumstance they're going through at that time. So much so, the Navi in Sefer Malachi writes the following. And this is a prophecy about the days of the coming of Mashiach. Hineni Shaleach Malachi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to send my messenger. Ufana Derech Lefanai, and he's going to clear out a way for the Melech HaMashiach to come and for God to once again reveal himself. Upisom Yavo El Heichalo, and abruptly, unexpectedly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will reappear in his Heichal, in his Beis HaMikdash. Asher Atem Mevakshim. Says the Medrash there, and I feel like this is talking to our generation. Mipnei She Yisrael Shebaosah Hadar Omrim. The Jews in that generation of the coming of Mashiach will say, is it possible? Efshar Olam Kiminhago Noeg. is it possible that we experience a world the likes of the circumstances that we're living through today? We have the threat of North Korea and the threat of Iran, and we have Hezbollah and Hamas and all the different terrorist organizations, and we have anti-Semitism popping up everywhere all over the world, and we've never been so afraid. And yet, with all this going on and the school shootings, and you can go to a supermarket, and yet you never know if you're going to come home alive, and the ramming attacks in Israel, who knows what's going to be? And with all of this going on, the Jews say to themselves, Efshar olam kimenhago noeg, is it possible that the world continues to go on the way we experience it? V'yesh ge'ula b'shana zu, and you're telling me that there's going to be a ge'ula? Is there a reason to daven every day? V'liyushalayim ircha semach david, it's so unreasonable. It's impossible for that to actually happen in our times. And the Medrash says the answer to that is, heim enam yodim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds and he says, they do not understand, shepis om yavo, that this can happen, this can emerge with one moment's notice. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can take the whole world and flip it on its head, and we won't even remember all of the tragic circumstances that we were living through until that point. Look at the story of Esther. That's exactly what transpired there. We read it in one night and we think the whole Geula happened in just 30 minutes. But when you realize 10 years, this woman is living with this madman for 10 years, and who knew what was going to happen? The Hatzalah only came at the very end of the story. Mordechai never knew that he was going to be successful. Nobody knew that this was going to happen. And the answer is, we need to keep in mind that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the ability to bring a Geula at one moment's notice, and he needs no more time than that. And that was, in some way, the story of what happened in the times of Mordechai and Esther. As we know, the Gemara tells us, "Mipnei man ischayvu soneim shel Yisrael b'chabaosa hadar kalaya." The Gemara Megillah Daf Yud Beis writes, "Why is it that the Jewish community of that generation was worthy of being killed? There had to have been a rationale, there had to have been a reason. Yes, in the end they were saved, but what did they do wrong in the first place? Why is it that Haman was able to have the Gzeira go through and they were on the cusp of being destroyed? What was that all about?" Says the Gemara, "Bipnei shenanu misudaso shaloso harasha." Because the Jewish community participated in that which happened by the party of Achashverosh. And all the Mefarshim ask, so what did they do wrong? What did they do wrong? They went to a party, they were invited to come and participate. As abiding citizens, they joined him. Maybe, for all you know, maybe Achashverosh even got them a kosher caterer. He was rich enough to serve everybody whatever they wanted, so probably he was able to provide them with kosher food and kosher wine, and he made sure to have a butler there who was a Jew, so there was no problem of stam yenam, yayin nesach. He probably had a Jew who came and turned on the fire, no bishalakum. What's the concern? What's the problem? What did they do wrong? Say, yes, you don't belong there. But what's so bad in the end of the day? Is that really a reason to destroy the whole Jewish community? Many of the commentaries try to explain how to really interpret what the Gemara says here. Is that really enough of a rationale to destroy an entire Jewish community just because? So a number of years ago, Rabbi Asher Weiss told me he had the following thought. And he said, maybe the understanding is as follows. The Gemara tells us, why did Achashverosh make this party? All of a sudden, Achashverosh decided to make a party. It's not because he just became the king. As we know, it says, Bishnas Shalosh Lemalcho. He only makes the party in the third year of his rulership, in the third year of his reign. So where has he been? If you want to celebrate the fact that you're in charge and you're the leader and you're the king, why not do it right away when you become king? So the Medrash tells us the reason why is because he was afraid that maybe this wasn't going to work out so well. After all, the Navi Yirmiyah told us, after 70 years of being exiled from Yerushalayim, it's time for the Jews to go back. And there's going to be a mass exodus from Galus, and they're going to go back and ascend up to Yerushalayim. So Achashverosh says to himself, I know I'm the king, but I got to wait till after the 70 years pass. Once they pass and the Jews are still stuck here, that's when I know that I'm really the one who's going to be in charge, and the Navi of Yirmiyah, that there's going to be a Beis HaMikdash and a return to Yerushalayim, that's never going to happen. After he makes his calculation, he realizes the third year into his rulership, that's when the 70 years were supposed to be up. And now he says, now it's time to celebrate. And that's why he takes V'kelim, Mikelim Shonim. We read that in the Tuna Ve'echa, because he took the kelim, the vessels, the utensils, from the Beis HaMikdash to highlight the fact, this dream of Beis HaMikdash, of Geula, of Yerushalayim, it's over. Just forget about it. It's not going to happen. You will never return to Yerushalayim. And that's what the celebration was all about. And he invites the Jews to say, I'd like you to come. Give up on your dreams. Give up on your tefillos. V'li Yerushalayim irchas, Tzemach David, v'sechazena einenu. It's just not happening. Yes, you had a Navi Yirmiyah who told you 70 years, and then you're going to have a right to return. It's never going to happen. And that's why Achashverosh makes the party. And their participation in this party showed that they gave up about the prospect of a geula. That says the Gemara, "Mipnei man ischayvu sonem shal Yisrael kalaya." You want to know why the Jews were worthy of being destroyed? Because they said there is no chance that we're ever going to have a geula again. By participating in that Seuda and that celebration of Achashverosh, it showed that they just don't believe that there's a possibility for God to actually save them any longer. They decided life is over, and there's no way that anything can change. And what they didn't realize was, Pis'om, Bechipazon, the same way it happened by Yetzias Mitzrayim, is the way it happened over here. And the Chafetz Chaim points out, this is the way it has happened at every juncture in Jewish history. Look through every single difficult situation that we've been in. And the Chafetz Chaim writes, think about the story back to the days of Yosef HaTzadik. What happens? He's thrown into the pit. He doesn't know anybody. He asked the Sarah Mashkin, the Sarah Ofim, can you remember me when you get out of here? And they totally forget about him. They erase him from their minds. A couple of years go by, and he's stuck there, and he doesn't know if there's ever going to be an end. And there, says the Chafetz Chaim, may Ashpos Yerim Evyon. You can have Esther Hamalku, who throws up her hands and says, Kaili, Kaili, Lama Azavtani, you've abandoned me. I'm all alone. What's going to be with me? And from all of that, may Ashpos Yerim Evyon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can come pis'om, out of nowhere, so unexpectedly, so abruptly, and he can bring the Yeshua, he can bring the salvation. And this is what the Gemara says was the problem with the Jewish community at the time. They participated in a Suda that was to celebrate that end of a dream of coming back to Yerushalayim. It is of no surprise that Mordechai, the Gemara tells us, at the end, when he's gathering all the children in and he learns with them, says the Gemara, when the non-Jews walked in, what was Mordechai teaching them? The laws of Kemitza. What are the laws of Kemitza? We're in Parshas Vayikra now. The laws of Akravas are Karbanos. That was not something that he just decided one day, oh, we don't know about Karbanos. That was because the problem of that generation was that they didn't believe there would be a Beis HaMikdash. Nobody believed there would be Karbanos any longer. And Mordechai says the way to be Misaken, the way to show that we are undoing the problem that we got ourselves into here, is to teach the young children, yes, you need to start believing again that there can be a geula, that there are laws of karbanos, that we're going to teach the rules of how to offer a karban in a Beis HaMikdash, because that day once again will come. And that, says the Rambam, is what we're supposed to be thinking about every year as we read the Megillah. Mika Hashem Elokeinu b'chol kareinu eilav. There's nothing more that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants than to have a relationship with us and to hear from us, that we should believe in that redemption, that we should believe that ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do it all as long as we are sincere in our relationship with Him. He has every interest in the world of repairing the relationship with us and bringing the Yeshua that we so badly need.